Our scripture today always brings up more questions than answers. It's also a scripture that brings up more different ideas from people about what it could mean. We don't like seeing Jesus angry. As a matter of fact, we spend a lot of time talking about him being the exact opposite. Jesus being kind and gentle and loving and forgiving, second chances, not anger, not turning over tables, not carrying a whip. I don't think I like it being called Jesus cleansing the temple either. That's what it's titled in most of our Bibles. But I'm not sure the temple is what Jesus is trying to cleanse. And I'm not even sure that cleanse is the right word. If I were asked to title this passage, which you understand no one's asked me to do yet, but if I were asked, I would probably call it Changing the System. I don't really believe Jesus was as upset about where this was happening as much as why it was happening. It's true that there are direct links for what was going on in the temple to the scriptures. The Jews knew their scripture and they knew what they were to do. In Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, there's a clear command that each person is to pay half a shekel to the Lord. So the money changers are in the temple to make that possible, taking the current currency and exchanging it so that people can pay their half shekel. Now, there is some speculation that the exchangers weren't necessarily being honest and fair. But we don't know that, at least not from John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they make suggestions, but John doesn't tell us that. Every person was also, as in the Jewish scripture, were to make a sacrifice. And the sacrifice of that animal was to be without blemish. What better way to provide animals than to right there in the temple have them ready? Just trying to make it convenient for our church members. It's handy, wasn't it? Handy. It's a little interesting that John puts this story right in the very beginning of the chapter. Right there after Jesus turns the water into wine. Many believe, as it's written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that this action happened just prior to Jesus' arrest, and therefore gave them the ammunition that they needed to arrest Jesus. But John puts it way earlier, as though Jesus changing the system might be one of his first actions in his ministry. John is writing this years after the temple has been destroyed by the Romans. So this incredible temple that's been in the process of being built for 46 years and is probably an amazing place, Jesus is going through and upsetting everything, talking about recreating the temple in 3 days. And we're reading about it so long after the temple has been destroyed. So the whole story is kind of convoluted. Not really confusing, just lots of things we don't know and we don't know where to put. But how does this story, which we know has a real connection to the Old Testament, how does it relate to us today? When you look at the temple before Jesus' time, the temple was the place where you went to find God. There were rules, many rules. Bring your half shekel, bring your sacrifice, and find God. What do we expect church to be today? Have you thought about that? What do you expect church to be? Do we still expect it to be a destination where we find God? Do we gather together every week because that's how we can find God? I hope not. Because if it is, we're limiting God. And Jesus sacrificed a lot so that we have access every moment of every day to God. So let's not have Jesus' sacrifice be for naught. The very thing I feel like Jesus was trying to say to all those in the temple that day, and especially to us today, is that we let the laws and the rules of the day drive us instead of the real reasons that we gather. It had become about checking off the boxes. Do you remember the old envelopes that we used to get? And you got a box of them in the mail. And at the bottom, there were all these little check marks. Do you remember? Attend worship. Check. Brought your Bible. Check. Read your Bible this week. Check. Attend Sunday school. Check. Read your Sunday school lesson. Check. All of the boxes that we had to check off. And I know as a child, I wanted those checked off before I got there on Sunday morning. None of those things are important when it comes to accessing God. But we let them get in the way of reaching God. The market people in the temple allowed their requirements to prevent people from coming to God. They closed the doors to people who couldn't meet their requirements. The doors to the temple became a lot harder to enter than the doors of the kingdom. What do we do that prevent people from entering God's temple? I'm positive that the money changers and the market people didn't realize that they were doing that. They were doing the same thing that had been done week after week after week after week. But how do we restrict people from God? I can't answer that question for us. I can't answer it for myself. Ways that I look down on people, or ways that I walk right by people without acknowledging their presence, or ways that I judge people on outward appearances rather than their inward selves. When we make it difficult for people to find God, or when we make it uncomfortable for people to come into this church building because of what they have or don't have, we're doing the same thing as those in the temple that day. But I go back to my earlier question, why do we gather together here today? What is it about getting together that makes it important? We know we can find information anywhere these days. We certainly have other things that we could be doing during this time. We're busy people, and I certainly might have chosen to stay in bed and find that hour that I lost last night. Sure, I have to be here. It's what's expected of me, but why? And how do we limit others from joining with us? We come to this place every Sunday, I hope, because it prepares us to enter the world at 12:01 and helps us to better see Christ in the world. If you're familiar with C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, in the second book, Aslan tells the two older children, Peter and Susan, that they will not return to Narnia again. And then in the third book, Aslan tells Lucy and Edmund the same thing. And Lucy is very distraught. And she is mourning the fact that she'll not see Aslan again. And he assures her, "You'll see me again." And when Lucy finally does see Aslan, it's in her own world. And she's surprised. And she doesn't understand. Why are you here? And Aslan tells her the whole reason he brought her to Narnia in the first place was so that she could know him well and know him well enough that she would recognize him better in her own world. I think that's a beautiful illustration on why we gather here today. It's sometimes hard to see God in our lives in this world. Out in the real world where things move so quickly around us. But when we come together here and we hear the gospel and we share the sacraments and we spend time with others who serve Christ and love one another, then when we go out into the world, we see God. We see God clearer. We see God easier. David Luce compares the church to centripetal force and centrifugal force. Centripetal force is the force that pulls objects towards the center. Centrifugal force is what sends things to the outside. We tend to treat church like it should be a centrifugal force. God drawing us together. And that's why we come, because we have all this in common, and that's dominating our lives. And while it's true that God draws us together, this church should be dominated by centrifugal force. The force that sends us out. We come together, we're drawn together by God to prepare us to spread out into the world and to find God in our daily lives and to live our faith in our daily lives and to share God with those who don't see. We come here to prepare ourselves so we can be sent out at 12:01, if we're lucky, to face the world, to see God, and to share God. May we be oh so careful not to close the doors to others. May we recognize our need to throw wide open the doors to God, knowing that all are welcome, no exceptions, at the feet of Jesus. Amen and amen.